Heavenly Father, we thank you for this beautiful Sunday morning that you have brought all of us to focus on you. Father, thank you that we have hope, the true hope in Jesus Christ, who not only died for our sins, but has been resurrected and risen and being with you, Father. Our true hope is to see you when this life expires. Let us truly looking for that day that your Son Jesus will come. Today, Father, we ask your Holy Spirit to help us to really understand the message that you have planned to speak to each one of us. We commit our heart to your Spirit and pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Surrender is to give up the control of our life to someone else. In what situation, surrender is the last thing the soldier would do. So the word surrender gives us a negative connotation. But surrender is one of the spiritual essentials in our relationship with the Lord. Surrender means we give up the control of our life to the Lord. Until we learn the art of surrender to God, we have not really ramped up to stage of spiritual victory. God loves when we surrender to Him. There are many aspects of surrender, but today I'd like to focus on the surrender of time. In my mind, one of the hardest spiritual disciplines is giving God our time. Why? Because time is a limited resource and people are busy. In our hectic life, there are simply too many things to do to handle. Work, study, email, social networking, media, watching TV, driving, giving rise to kids, meeting with people, vacation, and traveling, cooking, eating, cleaning, sleeping. The list can go on and on. However, the time does not really belong to us. Time is God's gift entrusted to each individual. And time given to each individual is called life. So we are responsible for how we spend time. What do you do with the time entrusted to you from God? Is God really your Lord in the way you spend your time? Do you have time sliced for the Lord in your busy life? Being alone with God is a clear way that we surrender our time to the Lord. Wouldn't God deserve our good quality time? I'd like to introduce Elijah today. Elijah was a special prophet of God, and he was used by God in a powerful way. And indeed, the life of Elijah resembles the life of Jesus in many ways. When our Savior asked his disciple, "Who do the people say the Son of Man is?" the answer from someone was Elijah. You know why? It is no wonder in many ways their lives paralleled. First of all, the courage Elijah showed as he stood in the presence of his enemy and delivered God's message resembles that of Jesus Christ. And secondly, the power Elijah exhibited in Mount Carmel when it took a miracle to convince his audience that he was man of God with a message from God also resembles Jesus. And certainly the compassion he demonstrated when he cared about the widow's grief and brought her son back to life also resembles the life of Jesus. And fourthly, the anguish he felt in his own Gethsemane as he wrestled in his soul also resembles Jesus himself. And Elijah's departure, how much like Christ was his departure. As others stood staring, he was taken up to heaven out of their sight. But I'd like to present this morning one other outstanding aspect of resemblance of Elijah to Jesus. Like our Lord Jesus, Elijah cultivated in a time being alone with God in a place of surrender. Elijah surrendered to the Lord by giving the Lord his valuable time. Would you please turn with me this morning to 1 Kings chapter 17. We are going to read verses 1 through 9. 1 Kings 17:1-9. And here's the word of God. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was the settler of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these days, except by my word." The word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go away from here and turn eastward, and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. It shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there." So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. For he went and lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. It happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. Then the word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Rise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you." This portion of the scripture describes how Elijah began his prophetic calling. You know, he came out of nowhere and confronted a powerful king, Ahab. Look at verse 1. Now Elijah the Tishbite, who was the settler of Gilead, said to Ahab, "As the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, before whom I stand, surely there shall be neither dew nor rain these years, except by my Lord, by my word." You know, Elijah confronted King Ahab single-handedly. He came out of nowhere. And one day he decided to show up, and then he declared the God's verdict that there will be famine in this land. If you know Ahab, Ahab brought rampant idolatry to Israel by marrying to Jezebel. And he was regarded as one of the wickedest kings in the history of Israel. And no one would dare stood against him in the reign of King Ahab. But it was Elijah who courageously confronted the king and pronounced drought. And this was much like a knockout punch thrown by an unknown challenger in a boxing match. But we know that this is not the end of the match, but just the beginning. And King Ahab was about to counter his challenger Elijah with his fierce blows. But God did not allow Elijah to continue to engage with King Ahab at that moment. God threw the white tower into the ring and stopped the match all of a sudden on behalf of Elijah. And look at verse 2. The word of the Lord came to him, saying, "Go away from here and turn eastward and hide yourself by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan." You know, confronting wicked king was a great thing to do. But God had a better plan for Elijah at that moment. God wanted his servant to be alone with him. Before Jesus began his work, the Holy Spirit drove Jesus to the wilderness where he prayed with fasting for 40 days. The wilderness was a place of surrender for Jesus. In a similar way, God drove Elijah to a place of surrender. Look at verse 5. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. So he went and lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of Jordan. You know, Elijah submitted himself to God's plan. He was ready to fight with King Ahab, but he pulled himself from the main event to a place of hiding. Elijah went to Brook Cherith and lived there all by himself. Why? Because that was God's plan. And Elijah submitted himself to the God's plan. Do you like to receive spotlight? Imagine that you are in Usain Bolt, the fastest man on the planet, running 100 meters in Olympic Stadium. And the whole world is watching you and cheering for you. And you are about to race your historic 100-meter sprint. But you hear God saying, "No, please stop right there. I am pulling you out of the race. Go to Cherith and be alone." You know, that was exactly, not exactly, but quite similarly what happened to Elijah. He was about to confront the mightiest, the king ever known in the history of Israel. And then God said, "Go to Cherith and hide yourself there." You know, we love the spotlight, but God wants himself to be the sole audience for us. Do you still want to run your race when no one is watching you? And this is a training God wanted Elijah to go through before he went back to the main event. Cherith is a place in which we would encounter God all by ourselves. You know, not with your spouse, or not with your friend, or not with your, you know, children, or not with your parents, or not with your, you know, church members, but all by yourself. It is a place of surrender. And do you have your own Cherith? You know, there are several characteristics of this place Cherith Elijah found. First of all, it is the place in which God wants him to be there. You know, look at verse 2, our first part. Go away from here, turn eastward, and hide yourself by the brook Cherith. You know, God asked Elijah to hide himself by the brook Cherith. You know, God, with his foreknowledge, might have known the danger Elijah faced. In Elijah's case, danger might have been King Ahab and Jezebel, who hated him. You know, they were ready to kill Elijah at any time. And they always wanted to capture Elijah. And Cherith is the place of God's presence and protection. Second of all, Cherith is the place in which Elijah faced God all by himself. In the brook Cherith was there nobody but the brook and nature. No internet, no media, no meetings, no task to do, no one to talk to, no one to hear from. And Cherith was a secret chamber for Elijah. And all the noise has stopped at that place. Now he can hear the voice of the Lord in that place because he turned off all other voices. You know, there is a place in which God wants us to be all by ourselves. It is a secret chamber in which you are alone before the Lord. God wants your full attention to him. God wants to speak to you. And that is the safest place in the entire universe. And we should find ourselves, our own Cherith. And Cherith is also a place in which Elijah learned to trust the Lord. Look at verse 4. It shall be that you will drink of the brook, and I have commanded the ravens to provide for you there. Let's think about it. What God said to Elijah, to drink of the brook, is not easy to trust. You know why? Because Elijah just pronounced that there will be drought in the land. And he knew that water will dry up very soon. And you know, famine has already started according to God's plan as a judgment for the land where you know, King Ahab was a king. But God says, you will drink of the brook. Elijah might have thought, but how long? You know, if you were Elijah, if I were Elijah, I would have gone to Costco, and you know, buy packs of water bottles in my trip to you know, Charis, knowing that water will dry up very soon. So it's not that easy to trust. You know, just God and just the water from the brook, because it's going to soon dry up. But anyhow, Elijah went by himself without carrying anything with him. And secondly, God didn't say, pack up your food and carry the food with you. But God said he has commanded the ravens to provide food for Elijah. It's a nonsense, isn't it? Can you trust if God says ravens will provide for you when you go to a brook, you know, Cherith? Can you really trust that? It's very difficult. Think about that. You know, this is one of the most unbelievable demands God is asking Elijah to trust. And how would the ravens be able to find Elijah? And how many trips would these ravens have to make to bring food to Elijah? Morning and evening? And what kind of food can the ravens bring to feed Elijah? Raven is not a big, you know, bird. You think about it, how many birds or how many, if it is one raven, would be able to make the trips to feed Elijah? You know, all these questions might well have been running through the mind of Elijah. But Elijah trusted the Lord and went there. See what happens. Look at verse 5 and 6. So he went and did according to the word of the Lord. And for he went and lived by the brook Cherith, which is east of the Jordan. The ravens brought him bread and meat in the morning, and the bread and meat in the evening, and he would drink from the brook. While Elijah trusted God, God provided all the needs of Elijah as he promised. And this was physical nourishing, but spiritually speaking, I believe Elijah was deeply saturated with the Lord's presence and power while he stayed there. But the real test comes when the brook dried up completely. Look at verse 7. It happened after a while that the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. You know, if you go to Israel, the water is very scarce. Even Jordan River is, it's not a big river as we imagine. It's just like some kind of, you know, close to brook than, big river. So when drought took place in that place, you know, water will dry up so quickly. So that's what happened. So it happens after a while, the brook dried up because there was no rain in the land. And as the water was drying up, Elijah could have devised plan B. He could have, you know, gone out of Cherith to look for a place in which he would be able to save himself. But he did not implement plan B. But he saw himself, the last drop of water, drying up before his eyes. He stood there. He stayed there. At that moment, God spoke to him. Look at verse 8 and 9. And the word of the Lord came to him, saying, Arise, go to Zarephath, which belongs to Sidon, and stay there. Behold, I have commanded a widow there to provide for you. So in the brink of starvation and dehydration, God revealed his next plan for Elijah. You know, God moved Elijah to Zarephath and continued to provide. But how God provide Elijah? You know, by the help of a widow. During a famine, who would be hit the hardest? Probably the widow and orphans. And God asked Elijah to trust in the provision that he provides through a widow, which is another test for him, but he trusted and he went all the way. You know, after all, the Charis was a place in which Elijah surrendered all his plans and will. And he let go all his plans. And Charis was a place in which Elijah focused on God. No other voice, no other distraction. And Charis was the place in which Elijah trusted God for the provision. You know, Elijah, Charis was a place of surrender. You know, for Jesus, it was Mount of Olives. Jesus always went up to the Mount of Olives and stayed there. And many times he stayed over the night to struggle with the Lord through his prayer. In that place, Jesus prayed and listened to the voice of his Father. You know, before he has done the most important doing of his ministry, he was a being before the Father. Elijah went to Charis as an energetic spokesman for God. But Elijah emerged from Charis as a deeper man of God. He hasn't done anything for God, but he encountered the Lord. You know, he deep-dived himself and understand who God is. So I'd like to share three lessons out of this story this morning. The first lesson, you know, God desires a deeper relationship with us. God desires a deeper relationship with us. I understand that you may have some relationship with God, you know, whether it's an elementary level or, you know, intermediary level. But what matters is to us is he desires a deeper relationship with us. God, you know, I believe Elijah knew God, definitely. And Elijah was a prophet of God, being able to hear the voice of God and be able to obey him. But at that moment, God pulled him out of the main event because God wanted Elijah to have a deeper relationship with him, to ramp up to a next stage. You know, what we do for God is less important than who we are in the presence of God. You know, that is the message that we need to, you know, pay attention. And second lesson, you know, God desires quality time with us. Luther said, Martin Luther, who was the main driver for Reformation in the 16th century, he said, I have so much to do that I shall spend the first 3 hours with the Lord. By the way, Martin Luther really, you know, was, his happiest time was the first 3 hours of his day as he immersed with the Lord through prayer and scripture reading and meditation on the word. I think time is a commodity that is most valuable and most competitive as well. We have 24 hours, and if you less 8 hours for sleep, we are given only 18 hours or 16 to 18 hours of activity. And out of that, there are so many things always come up. It occupies your mind and soul and your action. So I think, but in the midst of the business of our life, God desires your quality time with Him, you know, my quality time with Him. Probably that is the most important thing that we would do as the children of God. The last thing is God provides His provision to those who surrender to God's plan. You know, it's a God's provision. It's not the provision that you earn yourself, but it's a God's provision. As we surrender ourselves to God's plan, we'll be provided with God's provision, which is very different from our own striving, our own effort. Elijah surrendered himself to the plan of God, and we know God provided all his need. And God's direction includes God's provision. And so our priority is to surrender to God's plan. Whatever that is. And how can you know God's plan when you secure a place of our own carries and struggle with God, and we'll know God's plan. And then you will be blessed with the provision of God's plan. That is different from our own plan, our own striving. We may get something our own by our own effort, but we may miss God's plan, God's provision. God's provision is much more abundant, as you know. God's provision is much more encompassing, something that we never expected, but God can provide something out of His richness and abundance, something that we have never experienced. But we can only know God's plan when we really slice our time and being alone with Him, just as Jesus always went up the Mount of Olives and prayed to His Heavenly Father and knew what His Father's plan was for Him. Same as, you know, Elijah, as he stopped doing his striving, went to the brook Kereth and encountered God. We can actually implement our own charis. So we need to cultivate our own charis experience. And let me suggest some practical applications how to do that. The first thing is we need to stop striving. Stop striving. You know, all the deliverables and plans need to be put on hold until we are guided by God. You know, striving itself is not a bad thing. You know, out of diligence, we do our own effort. However, we should learn the wisdom to stop striving. Just let go and surrender all your plans and sit down and listen to what God has to say. Amen? Amen. And second thing, find a place for quiet time. Quiet time. This is the place where you are alone with God. And somehow we should be able to find this place. This can be a remote place or in your closet. And the key is this place has to be a place where you can focus on God. In that place, turn off all the sources of distraction and turn on yourself to God with whatever the means you can bring. Whether scripture, you know, Bible and prayer, worship, or music, you know, whatever the means you have, you bring it with yourself and focus on God. And last practice, learn to trust God one day at a time. You know, whatever the Lord prompts you in your daily walk, first trust God's plan and do it one by one. And he may ask impossible and invisible things to do, but even then, simply trust him and do what God says and move on. But one day at a time. Don't think too big. But each day, we present ourselves to God in our secret chamber and listen to him and learn to trust him one day at a time. And do these three things as your daily pattern. Stop striving, find a place for quiet time, and learn to trust him one day at a time. If you keep doing this, you know, God will empower you with his presence, and you will know what God's plans are for your life, and you would be able to be energized by the power of God, by the Holy Spirit, and be able to accomplish what God has planned for you. And in order to move Mount Carmel, we have to start at our own Kerith Brook. Let's pray. Father, please forgive us for our busyness. We are so busy with so many things entrusted in our hands, and yet we have neglected this secret quality time with you. Father, we have plans and we have things to do, and we have ambitions, and we have future plans, and we have all the good plans that we have came up with. But Father, you reminded us today that all this striving may not be your plan. Just as Elijah was about to fight with King Ahab, you showed up to him and you threw him at Brook Kerith. There might be the Brook Kerith of our own that you want us to be, and you want us to cultivate the time with you. So Father, by the hope, by the help of your Holy Spirit, let us find out our own Brook Kerith, in which, in that place, we cultivate deeper knowledge of the Lord, deeper experience of the Lord, all by ourselves, to know you more, to know you better, to know you deeper. Just bless that plan and bless our conviction so that we would come out just like Elijah, just like Jesus, to be courageous and to be fully obedient as we surrender ourselves to you. Father, bless each one of us in this room that our life would continue to be a life of surrender, one day at a time, fully trusting in you for what you have provided, what you have planned for each one of us and for this church. In Christ's name we pray.
Every blessing you pour out. back to praise when the darkness closes in, Lord. Still I will sing, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. Blessed be your name, the sun shining down on me, what a blessed it should be, blessed be your name. Blessed be your name, and the road marked with suffering is paid in the offering. Blessed be your name. Every blessing you pour out, I'll turn back to praise when the darkness closes in, Lord. Still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name. You can give and take away. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your name, blessed be the name of the Lord, blessed be your glorious name.
Father, we confess before you that our days are really short, and our life is a trust by you, and our life is a test by you, and our life is also a temporary assignment given by you. Let us learn to learn. Let us learn to trust in you, Father. And as you are the source of our own life, let us learn to lean on you and learn from you. Holy Spirit, convict each one of us to truly cherish the Father and the Son and Holy Spirit, our God, as the most important priority in our life. And as such, we would be willing to spend our quality time with the Lord. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of our God who is in heaven and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us of all forever.